This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for tuning in today. It was big news last week when General Motors announced its new CEO will be Mary Barra. Barra becomes the first woman to head a U.S. automaker, but that doesn't mean the playing field is level just yet. For example, the AP reported that Barra, in her previous job as product chief for GM, was making less than men in comparable positions. And Milwaukee businesses have been criticized in the past for the lack of female representation in leadership roles and on corporate boards. It's an issue that's especially relevant to Lori Storz. Storz is managing partner for the Milwaukee office of the accounting firm McGladrey. She joined us for the latest in a series of conversations recorded on the sixth floor of the University Club in downtown Milwaukee. Lori Storz, welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you for inviting me.
A woman was just named to head General Motors, and even in an era when we've had several women as serious candidates for president of the United States, the fact that a woman was named to head a major automaker was pretty big news. Let's look at Milwaukee, though. Do you see Milwaukee as having enough women in leadership roles in business?
Frankly, I don't. I think it's outstanding that a woman was named as the CEO of an automaker this week. It's great. But when we look, we being women leaders in Milwaukee via either members of Tempo, Professional Dimensions, or Milwaukee Women, Inc., and look at the number of women in executive leadership positions or boards of directors of companies, there's still woeful underrepresentation of women in those key seats.
If we were having this conversation 25 or 30 years ago, it might be easy to explain that by saying, well, there just have not been enough women in business at all with enough experience to hold these leadership roles. Obviously, women have been in business and rising through the ranks to some degree for some time. What do you think is keeping women out of those top jobs in places like Milwaukee?
Well, I think what we're facing in Milwaukee is not particularly much different than in most parts of the country. And you are absolutely correct, Mitch, that there have been very accomplished, well-educated women in business and civic leadership roles for more than 30 years in Milwaukee. So, it's a complex question. My personal opinion is that some of it is unwritten rules. So as well as folks tend to promote, like to work with, and consider people for positions of importance who are like them, who have the same value system, who they know well, and tend to look at that pool versus thinking more globally and looking at the most diverse pool and really digging deep for the best talent.
Is it a lack of ambition, do you think, when a company goes with what it might think of as the safe choice?
I do think that it's a lack of ambition, as well as perhaps not really understanding the business imperative of casting an extremely wide net and doing a very deep and thorough search for the best candidate, which could very well be somebody that is not in their direct circle of influence.
Because even in the case of the General Motors announcement this week, there are still a lot of people in a lot of places who are looking at that announcement and kind of casting it in token terms, if you will.
Yes, it's personally exceptionally frustrating to me when I was looking at just some of the comments on the Wall Street Journal website regarding the promotion of the highly accomplished woman who had spent her career with General Motors in a number of leadership roles and as an engineer and executive, that 30 to 40% of the comments were attributing her appointment to that very significant role to a major company, to tokenism and being a woman. It was really shocking and disappointing and shows, I guess, from my perspective, how far yet we have to go to really move beyond folks thinking in that manner.
In your time in your industry, accounting, have you encountered those obstacles along the way?
Absolutely. And I think that there's probably no woman in business in any city and in accounting who hasn't faced those obstacles. Well, there's certainly in every setting is overt discrimination. I think the vast majority of obstacles that I've faced and others have faced are more subtle, and of people not really being enlightened about the importance of having an inclusive work environment, looking at people as talent and as humans versus looking to their circle of friends and acquaintances for considering those types of promotions and leadership assignments. The good news is, interestingly enough, I find that inside a culture is often more challenging than the external world. So in my job, a lot of what I do is develop business for the firm. So I have a number of clients, I meet with a number of organizations, and try to persuade them to hire McGladrey for audit, tax, or consulting services. And in those settings, I see folks who very, very much want to hire the best firm with the best talent, the best value proposition at the best price for their organization, and understand that that is going to come in a lot of shapes and forms.
Along the way, is there a light bulb moment that hits you that, you know, you're trying to move along in your career and you feel like you're up against something, and then you realize, this is what this is about?
Certainly, there was for me. And I think for most people, it probably hits maybe 10 to 15 years into your career. And I think on an encouraging front, most people coming into the workforce today, especially young women, minorities of all sorts, are viewing the world as a very exclusive place. And their education, their circle of friends, they believe that the world has been very equal, which is a great change and something that I certainly embrace. But then when you get into your career and you get past the initial learning and the doing a good job and learning the technical skills and looking at the promotion opportunities and the path to leadership, that's where a lot of those unwritten rules and those subtleties come into play that you just realize one day that just working really hard and doing a good job isn't necessarily going to allow you to advance in an organization.
Can you put what some of those unwritten rules are into, if not written, spoken form? Like what are they?
Sure. So an example would be in my profession, in public accounting, especially auditing, we do the work at our clients' offices, and our clients are all over, some which require overnight travel, international travel. And sometimes leaders, and most of the time is albeit are trying to think that they're being benevolent and kind, will look at women with young children and say, she doesn't want to travel. She doesn't want to be away from her baby. And that may or may not be true. So they will not even offer those assignments, which would be really career-defining assignments and great clients that would help her build her resume to really advance, because they're making assumptions about her life without giving her that opportunity to decide if it's something that she wanted to do. I have yet to see someone who has a male employee who has a young child at home make that same assumption that he wouldn't be willing to travel or be out of town for a couple of days because he wouldn't want to be away from his young children.
We're speaking with Laurie Stortz, and we're on the sixth floor of the University Club. And you are involved with mentoring younger people, especially women, but not only women in business fields. And that's something I've heard. You know, I've heard quite a few people talk about. But let me ask you to elaborate a bit. You know, women, for example, at this stage, have more educational opportunities than ever before. I think I've read that they're now in the majority in business schools, not just colleges in general, but specifically in business schools. Why is connecting with a mentor still such a key part of the equation?
mentors give you a number of items. I think the first, probably that I think is the most important, is a point of view and encouragement. As humans, when we're going on a path and we're walking through life and a career, there's going to be things that happen to us that are disappointing and frustrating. And having somebody who can frame that, has gone through disappointments and discouragements, and help you see through that, I think is critically important. Mentors also understand a lot of the unwritten rules that I have referred to. And they can first let you know that they exist, which for some people, they don't even know that they exist. Secondly, they can help you navigate them and plan for how to deal with them. And finally, they can provide support, guidance, counsel, bits of wisdom that can be really profound and can help you see yourself in a different light than you might be able to otherwise.
How does the mentor-mentee relationship play out? I mean, is it having coffee once a week? Is it going to a ball game and sitting there and having casual conversation?
It can take any shape or form, and that's the beauty of it. It can be a simple phone call. It can be going to a ball game. It can be over a glass of wine. It can be over lunch. It can actually be in an elevator if you're in a rush and you just need, you know, 2 minutes. So that's the beauty of it, is it's really two people connecting and sharing thoughts, advice, and encouragement, which can take any form of human interaction. And I think, you know, trying to understand that it doesn't need to be formal, it doesn't need to be major blocks of time, I think makes it less frightening and less concerning that you don't have the time to do it. Because I find it really, it often doesn't take that much time. And I think as we go on in our life and our career, and we all had the experience when we were children, the impact that coaches or teachers or parents or aunts or uncles had on us. And some of it might have been by spending a great deal of time, but some of it maybe was a special lunch, a couple of comments, a card when you really needed it. And when we're more advanced in our career and our life, we can have that same impact in a small way that is really profound to the person getting it that we don't even really realize is the person giving it.
Did this interest in and affinity for doing this, did it come from a successful relationship where you were the mentee, or did it arise from looking back at your career and wishing you had a stronger mentor when you were a younger worker?
It was really more the latter. I think part of that was on me and not really understanding the importance of mentoring and really seeking that out early in my career. But I wish that some of the things that I've learned along the way, and many times the hard way, I had known before. And I just feel, but there certainly were people who have mentored me, guided me, given me good advice, which really makes me feel that it's my privilege and obligation to help others who may be in a similar situation and could use that type of relationship or perspective.
Well, and do you feel like you bring your abilities as a mentor to other relationships? I mean, is it when you're parenting or when you're actually working with a client, do you feel the mentor in you coming out?
Absolutely. There's been a number of times when I meet with clients who may be really, really tough business people, and boy, they're just having a really bad day. And I'll listen to about 5 minutes about, you know, this business issue or this personal issue that they just need to get it off their chest, and they really just want somebody to say, I'm sorry you're going through that, you know, it's going to be okay. So it's absolutely comes in client relationships. It absolutely comes in parenting relationships. It can be something as simple as being at a restaurant and a grocery store and somebody makes a mistake or does something that's embarrassing, telling them, hey, it's okay, I've done that myself. So I kind of feel myself using that skill in a lot of different places that I think can make other people feel good, move on, and just feel like that there's more to the relationship than business or whatever else it might be.
Do you feel social media is playing a role in this as well?
Absolutely. You know, it's great. I'm on Facebook with people I went to high school with, some of which I haven't seen in 20 or 30 years. And boy, you know, somebody gets a bad medical diagnosis or their child gets in trouble. The ability to put a note out or to send a message or to make a phone call and to really have real-time access to help people who you couldn't possibly have done that if you hadn't been on those medias is really, I think, wonderful and one of the great great benefits of social media.
You are an accountant. You have opportunity to mentor college students who are potentially going into this field. I probably don't need to tell you that that accounting doesn't necessarily have the reputation as being an exciting field. What's exciting about accounting? Why would you encourage somebody to go into that field as a young person going through college?
Accounting is really the language of business. Accounting is, when you cut through it, really understanding how transactions are recorded that businesses and, frankly, any organization in the country uses to determine their resources, their revenues and expenses to make business decisions. One great reason to go into accounting is there continue to be very strong employment opportunities and direct routes to great jobs, including benefits for people who graduate. So that is important. But really, when you look at people in business or even in communities, education, not-for-profits, folks with a background in accounting can go on to do many, many different jobs. So it is a really diverse, that those skills that you bring are very diverse and can be a platform for many, many different careers.
Lori Storz, thanks so much for telling us the story of accounting and your own story.
Well, thank you. It's been a privilege to be able to share my thoughts with you.
Lori Storz is managing partner for the Milwaukee office of the accounting firm McGladrey. She also serves on a number of boards in the region, including the University of Wisconsin Whitewater Accounting Advisory Board, the Finance Committee of Sojourner Truth House, and the Pastoral Council of St. Charles Catholic Church. She spoke with us as part of a series of conversations recorded on the sixth floor of the University Club in downtown Milwaukee. A Lake Effect holiday season tradition comes your way next, our fourth annual Games to Gift list with game expert James Louder. Keep listening. This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.